The United States versus David Hinton.
Morning, Your Honors. Michael Mann on behalf of the appellant, David Hinton. This case is about the imposition of a mandatory 15-year sentence on a plea of guilty. The issue is whether that mandatory minimum was applicable in sentencing Mr. Hinton, and it depends on whether he qualifies under the Armed Career Criminal Act in receiving that what the trial judge, the sentencing judge, thought was a mandatory 15-year sentence. That devolved into whether the third conviction, state conviction, should have been counted, and the appellant maintains that that third conviction should not count because it was argued below and it's argued here that that third conviction violates Apprendi and should not have been the third qualifier which triggers the 15-year mandatory minimum. If that is not applicable, then the 15-year mandatory minimum is not applicable, and the sentence was erroneously entered under the 15-year mandatory. The appellant argues that the trial transcript from the state court, that it indicates that the appellant was not informed under Apprendi or even under a common sense approach that his entry of a plea of guilty to that charge, which was a drug charge, all three of them of the prior offenses that are counted by the government are drug offenses, but this was a class two, which under normal circumstances would be 3 to 7 under the state statute. The issue then becomes, was the enhanced or the extended statute applicable? The trial judge believed, the trial sentencing judge here, believed that the word may be extended made it automatic, that that should be therefore counted as a qualifier, and the appellant maintains that the recently decided Fourth Circuit case of United States versus Williams seems to indicate that it's not automatic. It shouldn't be automatic in a case that dealt with issues which appellant Hinton believes are relevant to a determination of this case. The Fourth Circuit decided that Apprendi, based on our reading, was applicable and didn't prevent the Fourth Circuit from not counting the third conviction. The only difference, which the government will point out and has already pointed out in their brief, is that the state involved there had procedural safeguards. There are no procedural safeguards for an enhanced or an extended sentence, and the appellate Hinton maintains that that should not be a distinguishing factor to the rationale employed in United States versus Williams.
Could the sentencing judge in that conviction, the one in question, could he have sentenced the defendant to more than 10 years? Could it have been the 14-year sentence?
Yes, Judge. On an extended basis.
Yeah, but that Judge. He took that in consideration. He only gave him 4 years, I believe, right?
In our case.
Yeah.
In our case.
But the fact is, he could have given 14 years if things, I'm not saying.
As the judge pointed out, it
doesn't mean you have to sentence to that. It's the potential for the sentence. Isn't that what the guiding factor is?
That is the way section, I believe it's 402 of the Illinois Revised Statutes, that's the way it reads. It says, may be extended. The argument of Hinton is that since there are no procedural safeguards, and since a reading of the transcript of the entry of that plea of guilty would lead Mr. Henton, and Henton believes any ordinary person, to believe he was being sentenced on an unextended basis. I guess, Your Honor, what I'm arguing is the same thing I argued to Judge Shader, which is may should mean may. That doesn't mean it has been extended. And Henton didn't believe that it was extended, and certainly the sentence entered by the state court judge would lead him to believe that it was within the boundaries of a non-extended charge. He could have received 4 to 7 unextended for a Class 2 felony. He got the minimum. And what the judge says to him is, I must sentence you to 4 years.
That's and the minimum. That was the minimum.
Correct.
Okay, so that there was no question that was a must.
Well, Judge, I guess I would be speculating to determine what the judge meant when he said must.
Well, if it's 4 to 7, you can't sentence him to 3.
Right.
And also, what was the previous conviction that brought this into question?
Previous 2 convictions, Judge. And he received probation for those 2 previous convictions.
Both drug convictions, right?
Both drug convictions.
And he only got 4 years on this one.
So correct.
Those are not real harsh sentences for a third offender, is it?
No, Judge. And they were, the 2 priors were that he was up for violations of probation on and received contemporaneous sentences on when he entered this third plea of guilty. They were class 1. He could have gotten from 3 to 16 on those drug offenses. Clearly, those 2 were within the definition of the statutory term serious drug offense. Anything wherein you could receive a maximum of more than 10 years. That's what our statute says.
Well, don't you think that the third drug offense is more serious than the first?
Not according to the statute, Judge. In terms
I know when sentencing come, but don't you think it is that the court should take them all into consideration? And if evidently he didn't learn the first time, he's kind of stupid. He didn't learn the second time.
Well,
now he borders on being feeble-minded.
I understand, Judge, and certainly, arguably, it could be considered as more serious, the third, from
well,
a recidivist perspective. But from the perspective of how do the district court judges apply our federal law in sentencing people, in other words, are they subject to the Armed Career Criminal Act, which has very punitive penalties attached to it, 15 years for possession of a gun. So they have to go through a determination as to whether these count as serious drug offenses. Well, the only way this third one counts in analyzing that is by extending when the state trial court didn't even give an indication that they were going to extend. Otherwise, it doesn't count as the third qualifier. That's the argument of the appellate Henton. We stipulate 2 prior offenses. Whether it was serious under our federal act, we believe is subject to serious question, and we believe that the Williams court seems to indicate that there is a new way of thinking about this in terms of Apprendi. Maybe it's not. Certainly Henton submits it is not, and it should not have been counted as the third qualifier.
Okay.
Thank you,
counsel. May it please the court, counsel. Good Good morning. My name is Charles Eck, and I represent the United States. The real issue here under 924E, I think, is fairly straightforward. You have the federal law, which talks about having three prior serious drug offenses, and that federal statute goes on to define what is a serious drug offense, and that would be under state law a trafficking offense for which a maximum term of imprisonment of 10 years or more is prescribed by law. That's what the statute said. It's prescribed by law. I think therein lies the problem in the interpretation by the appellant, that you do not have to be sentenced to 10 years or more. It has the key issue here really is whether or not you are subject to a penalty of 10 years or more. Under the state statute, what you have is a statute that says any person can be that has been convicted of a second or subsequent offense under the Controlled Substances Act may be sentenced to imprisonment for a term up to twice the maximum term otherwise authorized. So what you have, and taking it to the particular facts of this case, Mr. Henton, undisputed in this record, had two prior controlled substance convictions in the state of Illinois. So when he was facing sentencing for that third conviction, which is the subject of this appeal, the state court judge did properly admonish him that the particular charge for which he was present to be sentenced that day was a Class 2, which is a, I believe, 3 to 7 year term or 4 to 7 year term. But he also, after making a express finding on the record, and that trial sentencing transcript is part of the appellate record, it's cited also in our brief, the judge expressly, after making the finding of the two prior state convictions, did expressly say you are subject to that 4 to 7 year term, and then he expressly says up to a maximum of 14 on extended term. The defendant clearly was told that that was what he was subject
to. This was on a plea as well, right?
And it was as part of a plea, Your Honor. Yes, it was.
The Fourth Circuit case involved a jury trial?
The Fourth Circuit case, I believe it was a jury trial.
At least there was some discussion about whether the jury should make a finding of the prior conviction.
Actually, excuse me, I stand corrected. I believe that Williams was actually a plea of guilty. And what distinguishes, though, Williams from this case is that it's a different law than the Illinois law. And in that case, I believe it was in a New Jersey statute, which, as Mr. Mann points out, had a set of procedural protections before the extended term in that case could be applied, which is different from the Illinois statute. For instance, a state prosecutor in the Williams case in New Jersey would have to, first of all, formally make the application. Then he would have to prove up the underlying prior conviction. And then, finally, the state court judge would have to approve the application. That court would have the discretion to deny that application. And I think those are some of the things that Mr. Mann is pointing out, that those types of things should be imposed on the Illinois law. Let me also make one thing briefly clear, which I'm sure that this court is aware, that the Seventh Circuit unequivocally has taken the position that Apprendi does not apply to 924E and prior convictions, that Apprendi has clearly upheld Almendarez-Torres, which has carved out the exception for prior convictions. So to somehow say that Apprendi should force this court to impose some sort of prophylactic protection for the defendant under Illinois law just is not so. And Williams says that. And what Williams then does is analyze whether or not under the state law, whether there were state protections that that particular defendant was denied. Here, I don't believe there's any dispute. It's clear that the only thing under Illinois law that you have to have as a prerequisite is a prior drug conviction, which is undisputed in this case. Once that occurs, then you become subject. The Illinois law is totally discretionary. You don't have to be sentenced to 14 years in order to be subject to the extended term. That is exactly what Judge Shader recognized. That's also what a case that I cited from the Fourth Circuit, Coleman, also expressly recognized. This is Armed Career Criminal Act has nothing to do with whether or not you are actually sentenced to something 10 years or more. It's whether or not you could have been, whether or not you were subject to. I would submit that under all the facts in this case, there is no dispute. It's very clear he was subject to a term of imprisonment that could have potentially put him in prison for 14 years based on that third conviction, which is in dispute in this appeal. I think Judge Mann, you said it best. It's not, you know, whether he was, but could he have been sentenced to those 14 years? There's no dispute. Mr. Mann conceded that had the judge said and decided, he had total discretion whether he wanted to, but had he wanted to, he could have sentenced Mr. Henton to 14 years. So it's not really a question of what Mr. Henton believed. It's whether or not there was anything that was not done properly to have made him subject to the state enhancer. And the government submits that everything that was required to have been done in that state court proceeding was. If there are no other questions, I would respectfully request that the court affirm the district court's conviction and sentence in this case.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Very briefly, judges, Mr. X indicates that the state sentencing judge told him he was subject to an enhanced or extended sentence. That's not true. The transcript is quoted in the brief of the government. What it says on page 4, it says, a class 2 felony is punishable by 3 to 7 years in the penitentiary, 7 to 14 on an extended term. He doesn't say subject to, and certainly Mr. Henton did not understand he was subject to an extended sentence, and his argument is that they've never done anything. I'm sorry. Thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel, thank you for accepting the appointment you gave.